Hysteria is brought to you by Ollie. If your dog could talk, they'd beg for Ollie. The full body, tail wag, the excited little hops, the big goofy grin, that's the Ollie effect. Ollie delivers clean, fresh nutrition in 5 drool-worthy flavors, even for the pickiest eaters. Made in U.S. kitchens with highest quality human-grade ingredients, Ollie's food contains no fillers, no preservatives, just real food. And here's the thing. Healthier food means a happier pup. More energy, shinier coats, better poops, and more excitement at mealtime. With 5 protein-packed recipes like fresh beef with sweet potatoes or fresh turkey with blueberries, even the pickiest eaters can't resist. You might think, dang, my dog eats better than I do. And that's probably true when it comes to Ollie. Here's how it works. First, introduce Ollie to your pup. Fill out Ollie's 30-second quiz. They'll create a customized meal plan based on your pup's weight, activity level, and other health info. For any first-timers, Ollie will send out your pup's first box with 2 weeks' worth of meals, a free storage container for mess-free serving, and a guide on how to gradually switch them over to their new diet. More excitement at mealtime, a shinier coat, and solid, easy-to-pick-up poops are some of the benefits you can see. 1 to 2 months on Ollie can help dogs reach a healthy weight. Ollie offers 3 meal plans to choose from, so you can choose between a full fresh plan, a fresh topper plan, or a mixed plan with their freshly baked recipes for your special fur baby. They also have treats and supplements. Ollie is one of a kind, just like your pup. Ollie is the only fresh dog food that comes with unlimited routine health screenings, so you can get your pup on track to living their healthiest, happiest life. Dogs deserve the best, and that means fresh, healthy food. Head to ollie.com/hysteria, tell them about your dog, and use code hysteria to get 60% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today. Plus, they offer a happiness guarantee on the first box, so if you're not completely satisfied, you'll get your money back. That's ollie.com/hysteria and enter code hysteria to get 60% off your first box. Hysteria listeners, we recently talked to the iconic Evan Kleinman, host of KCRW's Good Food Podcast. Every week, you can join Evan to explore the world through food, from politics to art, history, and the environment. You'll connect what we eat with the world we live in. Plus, you'll hear all about hot restaurants, recipes, and what's happening in food today. Listen to Good Food wherever you listen to your podcasts. Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco. And Erin, I'm taking over the cold open.
Okay, well, I missed you. You can take
missed
over
you.
Any aspect of the show because it was, you know, it was great to have Megan Gailey here.
She was
in.
So good.
It was great.
I love to,
have, to
listen.
It was great to have a week off so that I could go crazy researching our next TFG.
Which is great.
But I'm so glad you're back. And I can't wait to hear what you want to talk about.
I have thoughts. Erin, you know what we came back to?
Yes. Yes, I certainly do.
Something that I am not okay, and I need to know that everyone else is not okay with it. We came back to a picture of Donald Trump's signature being used as pubic hair. And Erin, the man loves to hold up his signature with that big fat fucking pen all the time with his signature. Yesterday, 3 times he holds up his signature. And Erin, all you see now is Bush. That's it.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really cruel, and it's inhumane.
I feel as though if you're somebody that if you ever sign a birthday card for a famous pedophile with your signature as the pubes, take a beat before holding up your signature to cameras for the next couple days. So that doesn't happen, right? Mm-hmm. Practical advice for everyday Americans right there.
Yeah.
Ugh. Today, we talk about that birthday card.
The birthday card.
Like, there's something so homoerotic about it. Like, imagine, Alyssa, if you had a birthday book. Or imagine, Alyssa, if you had a friend.
I had a friend.
Imagine you had a friend who was, like, suspected of doing, like, inappropriate things with young boys, a female friend. And for her birthday, in her birthday book, you drew a big penis and you wrote on the penis, let's have, like, may every day be a wonderful secret. Like,
no, I would never.
But, like, that's so fucking weird. That is weird behavior.
So weird.
It is weird behavior. Donald Trump was 57 years old when he did that. So we talk about this. We talk about the denials from the Trump camp. We talk about Trump's continuing attempts to make this whole Epstein thing just go away by denying the plain truth that people can see and hear in front of them.
Yep.
And then we are joined by the 19th News' Erin Haynes, a Hysteria favorite, to talk about some of the other news stories.
Kamala's got a book coming out.
The excerpt just dropped.
They're spicy.
It is spicy. It is not extra mild. It is spicy. And then we talk a little bit about RFK Jr. and the confusion around vaccines and public health. We talk a little bit about those.
Tylenol and pregnancy.
All of the quackery that is seeping through and making everybody's life just a little bit more of a pain in the ass. Then we talk about the WNBA.
So fun.
Almost playoffs time.
Mm-hmm.
Playoffs start.
Get ready.
Like in days. Days from now, the playoffs will be starting, and it has been an exciting season, an exciting year, and there's a lot going on. So stick around for that. And then we get into Sani Petty, per usual.
Little Petty, little Sani.
You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that absolutely does not believe that New York Times report saying our zodiac signs are wrong.
No.
That was rage.
Go away.
I'm sorry. I just don't think the paper of record, I could picture them like making fun of astrology.
Yeah, it's like, don't tell me.
No, I'm not the thing that I think I'm supposed to be a Gemini instead of a Leo because I'm like right after the cusp. I don't know. It's really dumb.
All
like,
I know is I'm a Pisces through and through and they can rip that from my cold dead hands. Okay. I haven't grown up thinking I'm mercurial and sensitive. Dude, fucking switch now.
I mean, I'm a Leo, but I'm a Capricorn rising, which is why I'm like a boring Leo, right?
You're not boring.
I'm not like one of those people that says the word birthday month. And I feel like that's a
no, no. Well, that just means you're not an idiot.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, we are not idiots. Welcome. We're not idiots. We're going to talk about not idiot things. But here's somebody who does think that America, all of us, are idiots. And that's everybody who's working to cover up and try to bury this unfolding mess that is the Epstein files that is working for Donald Trump. Last week, a group of women held a press conference to share their stories and call on Congress to release the records that the DOJ is currently withholding. Now, let me just some background on this. I think the survivors did this press conference because congressional Republicans and MAGA people and people in the White House and in the administration have been saying that they can't release this because they're being sensitive to the survivors.
Right.
The
they're
survivors
trying to be like,
release them. Here, we are the survivors and we are saying release them. And at this point, watching like this interplay is kind of like, have you ever been like on the phone with like a Comcast representative and you're trying to be like, no, but I want to turn in my equipment. And they're like, well, then you're going to need to do this. And you're like, no, but I need to do, it's like a dark pattern, right? I feel like the Trump administration is deliberately like creating these artificial boundaries that they don't actually care if you are like, 100%. No, that's actually not a boundary. But these survivors who I'm just going to say brave as hell.
Brave.
Super brave, pleaded with Trump to use his power and influence to help them. And meanwhile, Trump is still just calling it the Epstein hoax. Yeah. There is currently a discharge petition that's 2 votes shy of overriding Speaker Mike Johnson's objections and forcing the Trump administration to release the files. Mike Johnson, by the way, last week
famously
said that the reason that Donald Trump doesn't want to release the files is because he's an FBI informant.
Aaron, I actually watched the video of him say it out loud, and he couldn't keep a straight face.
I mean,
he's like, I don't think you understand. He's been trying to help. He's been trying to, it's like, what, with a wink and a nod? You Keebler elf? Like, no, that is not what is happening. And then he actually walked it back eventually.
Yeah, but I feel like I've seen it kind of take root in other, like, far right spaces where people are like, ooh, what if he's just trying to get Donald Trump in trouble. And I was listening to Hassan Piker because they do like some of his streams as like podcasts and it's in my feed. And he referred to it as being a white hat pedophile, which is like a very funny way. I was just drawing pictures of like an obvious little girl's body to catch the pedophile.
I was working undercover, but not with law enforcement.
I was lighting the house on fire to get another arsonist to come out and be like, good fire, buddy.
Right.
Like,
that's happening.
That's what I was stealing from Target to draw awareness to stealing. Like, oh my God. So the signatures on this discharge petition, I'm just going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think. I do not have any faith in congressional Republicans. And this two signatures away thing, I think, has been negotiated behind closed doors so that I don't think that they're going to get there. I think that behind closed doors, there are a bunch of Republicans that are like, look, I need to be one of the people that signs onto this discharge petition because my constituents are really mad at me and I ran on this and I need to do this. So I'm going to need the rest of you to just like be cool and hold the line and let me do this. Like, I think that they know exactly how many people are possibly going to sign that, and there's not going to be any that peel off because they're awful people.
Yeah.
Am I being cynical?
I mean, maybe a little cynical. I just mostly the sort of comedy of all of this is that this whole situation has brought together three bitches who hate each other so much. We got Boebert back up in the mix.
The Oasis brothers are back together.
So I mean, why not?
This is a time in the season for bitches who hate each other to join forces.
It's spooky season. It's a time for witches. The Salem witch trial recreations are all over my TikTok and Instagram.
That's weird.
It is. But some of them are funny. But Lauren Boebert, hadn't heard from her in a while because she and Marge hated each other so much. But she, Marge, and the mouth of the South, Nancy Mace, all...
Has Nancy Mace signed the discharge petition, or is she just acting histrionic
and more and overwrought?
Yeah,
unclear. I think she has signed it, but the three of them are in lockstep apparently.
Right. That's so weird. It's like
not good. Here's the real thing: will be, does Laura Loomer show up? And because if that's it, the world is burning if Laura Loomer is on board with those lunatics, too, because she and Marge have been fighting a lot, too.
I mean, but she's also the lunatics are also on board with people. Oh, also Thomas Massey is a he's a crazy person.
But he's on board.
He's on board. He is completely Nancy Mace did actually sign
up. Yep. Nance signed on.
I think, Thomas Massey, he is like you can see it in his appearances in public. I think that something has happened to him where he's like, holy shit, this systematic abuse of like girls and young women
is bad.
It's bad and it's real and I'm really upset about
it. He's kind of like lost his eyelids. Like his eyes are just bugging out at all times now.
Yeah. But it's not just.
Thank God.
It's not just crazy people. Like it is. I think that it's like a baseline human emotion.
Right.
To be like, it's really bad that like systems protected this prolific kid toucher for so long, and that so many important people were friends with him and either overlooked it or knew about, like they looked the other way, they knew about it and didn't say anything, or they're just dipshits and they were like, oh, why are there all these like skinny 15-year-old blondes around offering foot rubs on this airplane heading into international waters? Like there must have been like a deliberate ignorance going on, you know?
Right. You're right.
But there's Trump's excuse for playing dumb is looking dumber and dumber. And it's kind of impossible to avoid the images of the card from the birthday book to Epstein. The White House is now claiming that it's fake. The White House was suing the Wall Street Journal, which
for
first reported
$10 billion.
$10 billion, but they're still gonna that's still going. The truth should set you free in this case. If you're being sued because you're saying something exists and someone is like, no, actually, it doesn't exist, and they're suing you, and then it turns out the thing exists, technically their lawsuit should get thrown out, right?
Right.
So, the Wall Street Journal produced this page in his birthday book, which was provided to the Epstein estate provided it.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for it to be fake, which now the White House is saying it's fake, it would have somebody with a time machine.
Yes, would have had to go back and...
Was the time machine owner also an FBI informant? Were they like a double informant? They went back in time, or they were like working for Epstein. They built a time machine. They went back to 2003.
Found the book, paper and everything that would comport with 2003.
And then they practiced Donald Trump's signature over and over again because they're like, he's going to be the president. And
of
I need
the United States,
obviously. And I need to put this in. Like, are you kind of pissed at like, Joe Biden for not being like, here's all this shit and putting it out?
Kind of. Yeah, like, what are we doing? I mean, look, here's the thing. It's a damned if you do, damned if you didn't. Because if he had been the one to put it out, it would have been easy for every Republican to be like, this is fake. This was created by Biden's DOJ. And now it's less so.
Yeah, it seems like it's completely unfeasible. And also the Trump team is following, they're breaking like every rule of crisis communication.
Yeah, they're right? Spiraling. Like,
right.
Saying like whatever comes to mind.
And they're continuing to lie. And here's another thing. Like, this really undermines all of the sucking up they've been doing to Ghislaine Maxwell recently.
Yeah.
In late July, Ghislaine spoke with a member of the Department of Justice, a Trump loyalist.
Todd Blanche,
yes. And during that testimony, she told Todd Blanche that she'd never seen Donald Trump do anything inappropriate.
Ever.
Which I've seen. And she also said she'd never seen, anybody else do anything inappropriate. Like, she never even admitted that Jeffrey Epstein did anything wrong. But, like, let's put all that aside. So people are treating that as, like, oh, so she didn't see it. See? He didn't do it. She didn't see it. He didn't do it. But she also said that she didn't see him sign this birthday book and she didn't know anything about the birthday book. She was asked about it. The release of this undermines the credibility of the child sex trafficker who they were relying on to exonerate Donald Trump. So it really makes, like, can you really trust anything she says? No.
No.
But especially now, since there's such a stark example of her being asked a question, her giving information that is, I mean, maybe she truly doesn't remember, but it just proves that, like, things happened that she didn't see or that she doesn't remember.
Or that she is lying about remembering.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if it seems like I know an awful lot about Ghislaine Maxwell.
It's because you do.
It's because on our week off, I've been working on the subject for our next This Fucking Guy, so that's forthcoming.
It's a banger.
That is forthcoming. All right, we're going to take we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, and for the rest of the episode, Aaron Haynes is going to be joining us, one of our very favorites, so stick around. Hysteria is brought to you by Quince. Fall is in full swing, and it's the perfect time to refresh your wardrobe with pieces that feel as good as they look. Luckily, Quince makes it easy to look polished, stay warm, and save big without compromising on quality. Quince has all the elevated essentials for fall. Think 100% Mongolian cashmere from $50, washable silk tops and skirts, and perfectly tailored denim, all at prices that feel too good to be true. I absolutely love their cotton sweaters. I get hot in like itchy sweaters. I live in a hot environment. Their cotton sweaters are like the perfect layering cover up for a chilly morning, and it won't have me sweating through it by noon. By partnering directly with their ethical top tier factories and cutting out the middlemen, Quince delivers luxury quality pieces at half the price of similar brands. It's the kind of wardrobe upgrade that feels smart, stylish, and effortless. All of my clothes are from approximately 2019. 2020 happened. I didn't really buy new clothes. And then I've been pregnant or postpartum for literally years since then. So it's time for me to buy some clothes that are from the 2020s. And that's why I love Quince, because I don't want to spend a ton of money on clothes, but I want to look nice. I want like a capsule wardrobe. I want it to be easy to mix and match. And Quince provides all of those things at a very good price. Keep it classic and cozy this fall with long-lasting staples from Quince. Go to quince.com/hysteriapod for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/hysteriapod to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/hysteriapod.
If you guys like Positive America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Positive America. That includes our new show, which is called Positive America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription exclusive podcast that is basically Positive America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothes.
Dan is very busy, clothes only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.
Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who are already sick of Amy Coney Barrett's book tour. Like, every time I see her, I'm like, shut up.
Shut up. She's everywhere.
She's everywhere. And also saying only bad things. Like, in a way that is like, it's unsettling. It's the banality of evil, right?
I agree.
And speaking of not evil.
Not evil. Now joining us for the rest of the episode, we have political commentator, editor-at-large of the 19th News, and newly minted president of the National Association of Black Journalists. Welcome back to Hysteria, Aaron Haynes.
You know, it's good to be back. It's good to be with you. You know, things have changed. What a year it's been. There are developments. So many developments. But yes, that is one of them.
Yeah, so a little under the hood, guys. Right before we started recording this episode, an excerpt from Kamala Harris's book Kamala's got a book, and an excerpt is out. And Aaron, you have read it and digested it. And what do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I did not expect to wake up this morning to our first look at the 107 days. My social media memories have been all about this time last year, right? When she was in the middle of this unprecedented campaign. And now we are getting to hear from her finally in her own words about what that campaign was. We're under the hood, behind the curtain, whatever metaphor you want to use. She is going there. This is certainly a Kamala Harris that I think a lot of people who covered her are familiar with, but not the Kamala Harris that a lot of the American people got to see. So super interesting already. And this is just the beginning. I suspect that we will probably see some more excerpts in some more places over the next 2 weeks before this book comes out at the end of the month.
When they start excerpting, you're like, what's going to be left of the book?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, they got to sell books. So they're giving people just enough, I think, maybe to go ahead and sign up and for the rest of it.
Well, I pre-ordered mine.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, you're locked in. You're locked
what
in.
Are some
locked
of the, in. What are some of the like big bullet points from this excerpt that make you like characterize it as kind of spicy?
Sure. I mean, listen, I mean, the idea that she is talking very frankly about the decision, President Biden's decision to run for re-election, her thoughts on that. She says, you know, I didn't think that he should have run for re-election, but also I understood the calculation of me as his vice president suggested. I was the last person that could suggest that he shouldn't do that, mm-hmm. right? Because I was going to be seen as I'm already somebody who's seen as gunning for that job, right? I was already somebody who was criticized for criticizing him on a debate stage when they were running against each other for president, right? So she knew that, you know, there was no upside for her politically or professionally, right, to do that, even as she didn't feel like that should have been a personal decision, given the stakes of the country and everything that was going on. Like, that is not something that we've heard her say publicly. Mm-hmm. She was so on message around that, just like so much of the rest of the White House and the rest of that administration, saying, you know, it was his decision to make. But to hear her say, actually, maybe it shouldn't have been his decision to make, that mm-hmm. was remarkable. But also just her talking about how she tried to be an asset to the administration, that, you know, certainly was how she felt like she was trying to approach the job, trying to amplify his message, carry out, you know, his agenda. There were times where she felt, frankly, thrown under the bus by the administration.
No love for his comm shop.
I mean, I think a lot of people probably saw that and thought that, but people had no idea if that is how she felt. Mm-hmm. And so that is some of what she is also laying out here. So, I mean, I don't think this is the book that people necessarily expected. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of this goes. There are definitely, if this is where she's going just in this moment, I'm like, okay, well, what is she going to say about, you know, her debate with Donald Trump, or what is she going to say about just other key moments in the campaign, right? What is she going to say about all the money that she was able to raise, or is she really going to go there on, you know, how race and gender played a role in her historic presidency and also in this unprecedented campaign? Like, I'm sat for all of this, basically. I want to hear from her. I think people would be interested to hear from her finally.
Well, and I was glad to hear her say in one of the excerpts that Politico had pulled that, like, she acknowledged they gave her, like, the shittiest portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was not set up to succeed. And it's like, we all talked about it all the time. We're like, they gave her immigration. No one's been able.
When she was labeled border czar, right? There was no pushback against that.
Nope.
That was not what the job was, right? And yet that was kind of how she was labeled. That after the Dobbs decision, her, you know, going out on the road in the midterms to really talk about the impacts of Dobbs and the landscape with federal protections for abortion just going away. President Biden did not want that job, right? So he clearly cedes that role to her, but she takes it and she runs with it. And then, you know, and they don't get destroyed in the midterms, which, you know, is something that historically had happened before, but like they made sure, I mean, she put that on her back. And so they have a different outcome. So, like, I mean, she's laying out her frustrations. She's also laying out kind of what she sees as her accomplishments that did not necessarily get recognized. And also just the unique scrutiny on her mm-hmm. vice presidency. I mean, like, I think I maybe had forgotten or just blocked out that there had never before been dedicated press pool for the vice president before she has this job. Like, normally, there was not a dedicated press pool for this person every single day.
You would take some reporters if you were going on a trip. Yeah,
she mm-hmm. would have had the same kind of pool as a first lady. But now, you know, she's vice president and people are scrutinizing her or following her, covering her, every single day. And yet so much of what she was doing was invisible to the American people.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to read something that was published in the excerpt about Biden's decision to step down, which I think like kind of encompasses what you were saying, Erin. She wrote, "It's Joe and Jill's decision. We all said that like a mantra, as if we'd been hypnotized. Was it grace or was it recklessness? In retrospect, I think it was recklessness. The stakes were simply too high. This wasn't a choice that should have been left to an individual's ego, an individual's ambition. It should have been more than a personal decision."
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But see,
the male ego, ego leading to America's downfall.
But Kamala Harris, I've covered Kamala Harris for the better part of a decade, right? I mean, I covered her when she ran for president. My first story at the 19th was about her presidential campaign that never got to make it to, the primary ballot in 2020, and covered her historic vice presidency. Like, this is somebody who is normally very guarded, whose inner thoughts most people do not have access to. So, yes, for her to say something like that, very candidly, very frankly, it is striking. It is mm-hmm. striking for her to say that because she's saying what a lot of people may have thought, but didn't know that that was also what she thought.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And like, since you've covered her so much and you've like spent one-on-one time with her, you've interviewed her, like you kind of implied at the beginning that this felt more like the real Kamala that people who are closer to her get to see. Is that what the impression that you're getting from like this entire excerpt?
Yes. I mean, this is not, like I said, I mean, as vice president, she was comporting herself, conducting herself in a very, she had to do certain things. She says so many times, even in this excerpt, you know, how loyal she was. And so just mm-hmm. how much she was trying to foreground the president and not put the focus on her and not, even this historic vice presidency about her, even as she knew what that meant to so many people in this country. Introducing herself to the American people as vice president was just really not an option mm-hmm. for her. I'm really interested to read more about, you know, how that calculation changes when she is trying to, you know, sell herself to the American people in 107 days. Because, covering her, seeing her up close, whether it was in off the record conversations or being able to interview her. That person could be a very different person than, you know, the person that she had to be when she was governing in support of this administration.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like 107 days is going to be kind of like 127 hours.
Like, yes, seriously.
The story of the guy who had to saw his own arm off in order to escape an impossible situation. So we'll be staying tuned. I'm sure this is like a rare political book that I'm like, okay, I'm gonna read this, and it's not going to be because some editor is making me read it to be mean. So I'm really looking forward to it. It drops September 23rd.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's the same day as the Epstein survivor's memoir, Virginia Giuffre's.
Oh, I think you're right.
Comes out.
I absolutely think you're right.
That is going to be a
what a week.
That is going to be a busy week for people who work in women's media.
Yes.
Now let's talk a little bit about vaccines. Who can get jabbed? How? Why? Yes. And who is deciding? Alyssa, take it away.
Asking for me.
Notorious fucking guy RFK Jr. is accomplishing exactly what he set out to do, cause confusion, mania, and deregulation around vaccines. So far in his term, he has upended the entire Health and Human Services Department, including firing the CDC's independent advisors on vaccines, and replaced them with vaccine critics. Now we are seeing the consequences. As reported by the 19th News, parents are feeling the brunt of the chaos and are left with more questions than answers, specifically when it comes to the COVID vaccine. It's still unclear who will qualify for free vaccines, since each pharmaceutical company has different approval standards for who they can offer them to and how easily school-aged children will be able to access them. The CDC says parents may still be able to get their children vaccinated if they and their child's doctor decide together, but the shots could be considered off-label, meaning they might cost hundreds of dollars out of pocket. On top of the cost barrier, many doctors may be reluctant to prescribe off-label vaccines because of liability concerns. Mm-hmm. And reminder, this is not a popular policy. 78% of Americans support using vaccines for prevention of diseases, 63% of Republicans, and 93% of Democrats.
63% of Republicans? That's so bad.
But it's still more than half.
That's so bad. No,
it's still a lot. Yeah.
63% on an exam in college is a D-.
Sure.
Like, they have a D- percentage of Republicans. Sorry to interrupt, Alyssa, but I am like rubbing
my
eyes.
No, that's it. I mean,
frustration.
We endured 3 hours of RFK last week, you know, spouting nonsense.
Heavily into the microphone.
Like a lawn blower, like a leaf blower into a microphone he breathed. His stance on mRNA technology, his promotion of conspiracies, and endless contradiction about healthcare. The only good part of that hearing was when, Senator Cassidy said, oh, do you believe that for Operation Warp Speed, Donald Trump should get the Nobel Peace Prize? And RFK was like, yes, of course. And he's like, well, but you said that more people died from the vaccine than COVID. And I just, well done. Well done, Cassidy.
You know,
it's your
nothing,
fault he's
nothing
the secretary.
Nothing more peaceful than fewer people. The more people, the more wars. So peace means, you know, you kill a bunch of people. That, in a way, is promoting peace.
Peace.
Man. I mean, listen, I availability is now, what does availability mean under this, you know, under this policy, right? Under, you know, and it's true. I mean, you know, as we are seeing, frankly, the return of COVID, so many friends that are, you know, that are, you know, texting me saying,
right.
Oh, yeah, I can't hang out. Like, it is back, right? And so people are wanting to get vaccinated and have no idea what their options are, right? And for these parents who, you know, even if they can find a doctor who will say, yes, okay, you know, your child can get the vaccine, can they afford it? Will it be covered? We're not getting guidance from the administration. And in fact, I don't know that that is not intentional. You know, the uncertainty that this creates when people are needing to make health decisions, you know, at a time when we know that this virus is back, it's unhelpful, to say the least.
I just want to know, like, what is the end game here? Because, like, Donald Trump oversaw Operation Warp Speed, as RFK Jr. said in that hearing, and it was one of the only during actual accomplishments that were pro-social and beneficial from his first term, was getting that mRNA vaccine rolled out. So, like, why? I don't understand why they would want to kneecap American innovation. mRNA vaccines were showing signs of being promising ways to treat everything from cancer to a multitude of diseases, and we're halting research into them. Do you think RFK Jr. truly, in his heart of hearts, believes what he's saying, or does he have some kind of like money motivation? I'm just really having a hard time wrapping my head around why?
It seems to me like he developed 20 some years ago a fringe theory, we don't totally know why, that vaccines were bad. Mm-hmm. And he has made it his raison d'etre to take down vaccines at all cost, no matter what. He has weaponized the stupidity of people. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly who he is preying on and telling them, oh, you don't like the fact that they keep feeding the like, you're getting vaccinated for diseases we don't even have anymore.
It's like, yeah that's because of the vaccines.
But one of their talking points when you see on like crazy, scary TikTok that I end up on sometimes is like, you're being vaccinated for diseases that don't even exist anymore. And it's like, oh my God, correct. Like, yeah. You know, and he will burn it down at all costs to humanity.
So you think it's like an ego thing? Like mm-hmm. he just wants to be right?
100%.
Aaron, what do you think?
I mean, I think that this is also I think that this is also a symptom of kind of this ongoing effort to delegitimize science, right? Mm-hmm. And research and things that we know that have been proven, right? Like that was happening during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that was able
Ivermectin.
That was a thing that was able to take root in this country from our highest levels of government. And so I think there is a direct line from that to the moment in which we now find ourselves, right? That allows somebody like a Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to rise to the level of Health and Human Services Secretary. I mean, we go from the CDC being gutted, not mm-hmm. trusted, you know, as an institution that has told us for decades about our health, given us guidance, right? To say that place is not legitimate, that those scientists are not legitimate, and for a significant portion of the American public to now be bought into that, right, and not trusting him, but being open to these theories that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. can peddle. So I think a lot of what he is saying and doing is alarming to a lot of people, but I also think it's pretty clear to see how we got here as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it also kind of like this kind of dovetails with a different story that really got stuck in my craw this week. So RFK Jr.'s quackery, as you mentioned, Aaron, is not limited to vaccines.
No.
I think it's like an ego thing. And I also think it's like a cash grab thing because the wellness industry is huge.
Yes.
Wellness. What does it mean? But it's also like the Wild West right now. Like if you are a charlatan with a big idea and a convincing delivery, you can get people to give you a lot of money because mm-hmm. the like healthcare system is completely broken. And when we had a chance to do things to fix it long term, we didn't do them. And so now we're here in this kind of like cash grab wellness space. But I'm also seeing this like there's these weird through lines of like eugenics in the way that he speaks. Like,
totally.
We're doing old-timey things. We're bringing back eugenics. The way that he talks about people with autism as mm-hmm. being completely unable to live normal lives is like, what are you talking about, right? Like, and then the way that he talks about like Tylenol in pregnancy, which is something that they just have been talking about this last week. The Trump administration plans to release a report that will blame the use of acetaminophen. They'll tie acetaminophen to autism spectrum disorder. So that is also, to be clear, that is a large study published in 2024 by the U.S. in collaboration with Sweden that found no increased risk between those two things. Tylenol is actually the only over-the-counter pain med that you can take when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
The only one. And it
and
is also
a lot of research. A lot of research that
there's
went
into that.
There's
a lot of research on it. And you know what? You know what is linked to autism? Genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And an older age of the father. Like, mm-hmm. there is, this is just like another way to blame like women's conduct right. during pregnancy and right. to like make it seem like the more you're suffering when you're pregnant, the more moral you are. Like, it's just really fucked up. Like, when I was pregnant with my second daughter, I got COVID. I was mm-hmm. 11 weeks pregnant. And when you are that early in that first trimester of pregnancy, having a high fever is very, very dangerous to the fetus. It can cause neural tube malfunction. So like the tube around the spinal column doesn't form correctly if you do something like spend too much time in a sauna, get like a really high fever. Like it can cause like serious birth defects, some of which are like incompatible with life, right? What helps break a fever?
Tylenol.
Tylenol. It is so dangerous to put information out there that could lead to women having truly awful pregnancy outcomes. Like a child with a neural tube dysfunction. And it's also like really fucked up that like people would say that it was worth it to them and it should be worth it to them to risk having a high fever during pregnancy because having a child with autism spectrum disorder is worse.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's yeah. just such a like tiramisu of terrible things. Like yeah, the lionization of pregnancy suffering, eugenics. Erin, you look like you have something to add.
No, I mean, because if, you know, this is the guidance that is coming out of the White House, right? Then policy that can then be used to shame mm-hmm. pregnant people and to say, well, you don't want to be, you know, like you. It would make you a bad person to be putting Tylenol into your body with it. Like, that's actually harmful to the
unknown
people.
Toxin.
Like people in the public think they're entitled to comment on pregnant people anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, I got told not to order coffee.
Where does this go? Right, exactly. Where does this go if this is kind of official messaging? Yeah. From the administration that flies again in the face of decades
science.
Of research that says the opposite.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let me just say this, like, and this is me catastrophizing, but this administration demands catastrophizing because whatever we picture the thing, wherever we picture things could be going bad, that's usually where it's going, right? Mm-hmm. We've been proven right over and over again. My concern is, in the crunchy maha mom space, there is a real demonization of doing anything to make pregnancy less horrible, right? Mm-hmm. So there are people that are against epidurals, against getting vitamin K shots to newborns,
which is vital,
which is really, really important, against giving babies a Hep B vaccine. There are like all of these basic healthcare around pregnancy. I am worried that this is going to lead to the federal government funneling money into initiatives meant to promote things like home birth. And I am totally in favor mm-hmm. of home birth when done
right.
safely. I have a friend who did it, and it was a great experience for her. But I think that, like, it is a decision that should not be made lightly. And it should not be made because you feel pressured to be, like, the biggest sacrificer, the one experiencing the most pain. And I feel like there's this real creepy thing happening right now that equates sacrifice and morality in pregnant women, and that is unnecessarily going to subject lots of people to danger that they do not need to be in.
Well, yeah. And Erin, because you know that it is just a hop, skip, and a jump from them saying, if you are child of childbearing age, you should not be taking Tylenol. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that is every time they do something, they find a way to spread it further. And I think the thing that's just so, like, anti-intellectual and insane and anti-scientific is that, you know, 100 years ago, the average life expectancy was 67, and now it's 79. And what does that say? You know, 100 years ago, the life expectancy of a woman with breast cancer, it was 91% fatality that she would die. Now it's like 2%. Like, there has been nothing, but the advancements in the last couple of years, it's just, I think the thing that I grapple with the most is how any person who has lived in the modern age can look at it and be like, oh no, we were better before science and vaccines and medical treatment. Like, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just what we're seeing, this is also, I mean, part of the post-Dobbs landscape, right? You know, not only do we have government weighing in on access to abortion care, but now it's policy around pregnancy that is the focus. So not only are we going to tell you, you know, you must have a baby, right? But what happens when you are pregnant? Not being regulated by science, by medicine, but by folks in government. Like that definitely feels like part of all of this and kind of the logical destination of where we are on the other side of this ruling.
Well, and on the back end of all of this, the MAHAs are really getting into perimenopause and menopause and how you really shouldn't be taking hormones. It's natural. You need to let your body do what your body's meant to do, despite of the science that says it is heart protect. You know, heart, if you're able to take estradiol and progesterone, that it's heart protective, that it's bone protective, that it pretends that it helps keep lesions off your fucking brain. And they're like, yeah, but
natural.
You know
what else is natural? Like forest
fires.
Like there's all kinds of things that you're like, well, we still need to control it. I want to, Erin, I don't think you know this story, but Alyssa, you know this story. When I was pregnant with my first, I really wanted to try to do an unmedicated birth. I like researched it and I was like, I think this is what I want to try. And I found a birthing center that is like down the street from a hospital. So I was like, even if things go sideways, I'm like 30 seconds away from this, you know, from the hospital. And it seems like a pretty good thing. It's rated really well. People had a really good experience there. I found out after I was like in the process of transferring my care from my OBGYN to the midwives there that they were anti-vax. And it was just like not, it was just like part of what was okay. I was, it was 2021 that I had my first baby. And so it was like COVID. Everybody, like it was still like the height of the COVID pandemic. And I just was like, sent them an email and was like, hey, I just want to be sure that like everybody that I would possibly have like working with me and my baby, if I give birth here, would be COVID vaccinated. And they were like, no, that's an individual decision. Like it is crazy. There is an anti-vax natural birth. Like they're like this, those two movements. I can see where this is going and it's nowhere good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something that is equally as serious as public health, the WNBA. Woo! Stick around. Hysteria is brought to you by Article. I have so many Article pieces in my home. My new favorite ones are the dining chairs that I got. I absolutely love them. I'm like, I'm not very good at just like sitting with my butt in a chair. I like to sit cross-legged on a dining chair. And my mom and dad hate that when I go visit them. But you know what? They're not the boss of me. I have my own house. I live in it. I can sit cross-legged on my dining chairs if I want. They still look very chic. They're super high quality. Absolutely adore them. Article makes it effortless to create a stylish, long-lasting home at an unbeatable price. Article offers a curated range of mid-century modern, coastal, and Scandi-inspired pieces that not only shine on their own, but also pair seamlessly with nearly any other Article product. This thoughtful design approach makes it incredibly easy to mix and match, helping you create a space that feels cohesive and stylish. Article takes great care in curating its collection, focusing solely on high-quality, meaningful pieces that will stand the test of time. There's no filler. Every item is chosen for its craftsmanship, design, and lasting value. You can immediately tell the difference in quality when you receive an Article piece. My favorite thing about Article, in addition to the furniture being awesome and pretty and high quality and lasting a long time, is that the delivery process is so seamless and so helpful. It's so much better than any other furniture delivery experience I've ever had that I feel like all of the other furniture companies should frankly feel bad about themselves. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/hysteria, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/hysteria for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
If you guys like Pod Save America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Pod Save America. That includes our new show, which is called Pod Save America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription-exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothed.
Dan is very busy, clothed only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.
Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people that know that the Lynx got jobbed in the WNBA championship last year. It was obvious they wanted the big market team to win, and the fix was in. And that, I will die on that hill.
Wow.
I will die on that hill, Aaron. All right. Aaron Haynes is here to talk with us more about this year in the WNBA. It's been huge. The league broke its season attendance record. TV coverage expanded, so it's easier to find games. It's easier to watch games. And there was an all-star weekend full of viral moments. Aaron, what plot lines have been your favorite from this season?
Oh, my God. Not that I don't love the both of you, but Studbuds, if you're listening, I'm available. I'm available to hang out. They gave me so much joy All-Star Weekend. I was obsessed with them. I remain obsessed. And if you have not seen their new, like, fashion magazine spread, like, I'm like, yes, Studbuds are having a moment, continuing to have a moment. I don't want it to end. I need that this year. Also, got to see my own Atlanta Dream in one of their final games of the season. Just on Friday, they played the LA Sparks. Sorry.
I know. Ugh.
And we're victorious. So I felt very good. It was a very good day for me. Got to see Brittany Griner on the court. Love her. Ryan Howard, icon. Like, I mean, Tahina Pow Pow. Like, I feel like we are. You know, for people who thought, oh, this was just going to be kind of a moment. No, like we are here. Women's sports is a thing. The W is a thing. And I feel like when people see it, they get it. Like, I mean, these games are amazing. These players are amazing. And, you know, now that we're moving into playoff season, like I could not be happier. Pumpkin spice latte and an Atlanta Dream victory. Like, that's all I need. That's all I need right now.
I have to say, because the Dream are the number two seed going into the playoffs,
indeed.
I am relieved that the Minnesota Lynx, which are my favorite team, will not face them until they, if and until both teams are in the championship. Yes. Oh, my God. That would be an amazing series. That would be an amazing series.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm 100% here for it. If you couldn't root for your team, if you couldn't root for the Dream, who's your second favorite team in the playoffs?
The Liberty.
Yeah, the Liberty. Hello.
I mean, the Liberty.
No.
I mean, listen, I need as much LA content as I can possibly get at all times. Like, I'm just going to make that clear. Yes, we love the players. Amazing. But, like, give me an LA halftime show. Can that happen even when the season is not happening? Like, I don't know. I don't understand. I need to see her routine somewhere on Instagram or TikTok or wherever.
I think Ellie should be the new Bachelorette, to be honest.
Hello. Put it out there. Absolutely. Love Island. Throw her in there. See what happens. See, it would be chaos. Pure chaos.
Love Island USA, and she's the new bombshell.
Oh, my God. But, no, I have to say Las Vegas as well. I mean, Asia Wilson could not watch you enough, so would absolutely be here to see the Aces for as long as possible. But, yeah, I mean, I also got a chance to get out to a Liberty game earlier this year. Super fun. And just really good basketball. So, yeah, we are the real winners here, people. No matter who is making it through these playoffs. With that said, go Dream.
Notably, Caitlin Clark of the Indiana Fever won't be playing during the playoffs due to an injury. There's some like conspiracy theories around that. Have you been following those, Aaron?
No, I have not been following the conspiracy theories. All I can say is that I wish Caitlin a speedy recovery because obviously she means a lot to the league. People certainly are very excited, to see her playing. And so for her to not be in these playoffs, I mean, the Fever are still playing amazing basketball. Let me just say that too. But yeah, I mean, I think that probably. It's disappointing for a lot of people that they're not going to get to see her in this playoff run and are kind of wondering what that's going to mean for the Fever's chances this year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it bodes well for you, right?
Sure.
It's your dream.
Definitely.
Like, the number two seed will be facing the Fever.
That is not, we do not root for people to be injured, to be clear on here, you guys. But, like, also, I understand that they have they do not have a weapon that they would otherwise have.
Mm-hmm. You know, something that has been disappointing as like a WNBA fan, and this is not the players' faults whatsoever, but Caitlin Clark has become this of conduit for some kind of like ugly discussions and ugly talk. And I kind of like, I've wanted to talk about this on the show for a while, like how she has sort of become like this totem for people, like without participating in it herself, she's become this way for people to like express racism.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think that her not playing will make the Indiana Fever fans not live up to their expectation of being a little bit much during the playoffs?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I feel like, I mean, people want to be talking about Caitlin Clark, right? So, I mean, even if she is not playing, does that mean that they're not still going to find a way to talk about her and also find a way to talk about her in all of the ways that have nothing to do with her athletic ability and everything to do with kind of these people and their thoughts that she is certainly not trying to promote or be a part of, right? I mean, like... Yeah, and she has said, you know, that she would love to do nothing more than play basketball or right now recover from her injury. But yet, you know, this is still what people are going to choose to focus on. They have made her, flattened her into kind of the symbol and put all kinds of things on her that she has not asked for or been perpetuating in any way. And so that I think it is unfortunate. And I think, you know, we need to do better out here, people. So maybe we wish that, you know, her not playing right now might be an opportunity for people to make a different choice. But we'll see.
Calm down.
Yeah, seriously. Sure. I mean, it is like last year, I think, a plot line that was exacerbated by, I'm going to just say, people who are clout whoring, culture war issues, was like the, you know what I mean? People that are like, people who it's like, I know you don't watch women's basketball. Why are you acting like you're mad at Angel Reese? Mm-hmm. Like, you care. You care about something else, and you're using women's basketball as a way for you to talk about that other thing without saying that other
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
But on the Angel Reese front, there is a little bit of drama around her and things that she recently said about her team, the Chicago Sky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I read the interview that she gave to the Chicago Tribune.
It wasn't that bad.
I did not think she was out of pocket. Do you think that it was fair that she was, like, benched at the end of the season? Or do you think that there was, like, maybe something else going on and this was their way to be like, okay, you need to take a beat, Angel? Like, what did you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, but, like, the issue is that she was cast as the villain before she even went into the league, right? Like when she's at LSU, when she is playing Caitlin Clark, like she is cast as villain. So of course, this is going to be the interpretation of what she's saying. She's frustrated. The Chicago Sky is having a shit time and has been having a shit time for the better part of a year, right? This is not what she came to the Chicago Sky to do. And yet, like, I mean, she's been incredibly frustrated with kind of how things have gone. And so she's voicing that frustration. It doesn't surprise me. I've watched how things have been going at the Sky, who P.S. also have an amazing mascot. Can the Dream get a mascot like one of these? I just want to manifest that for us next season as well. But no, back to this. Like, Angel... Angel is somebody who she's a competitor. She wants to be playing at the highest level and she's frustrated. And so I think that's what we're seeing. But again, like, I don't know when, I don't know the point at which, you know, people are going to stop trying to villainize her or making everything about her just kind of being, the bad gal.
Yeah. I mean, and also like the things she was saying are like, true. Like, they're objectively true. Like, the Chicago Sky is not a very well-run organization.
And they're not doing
that part.
They're not doing well. They have talent.
And it's affecting her ability to compete.
Yes, exactly. And their point guard's like 37 years old. Not that 37 is that old, but like if you're running a team, you have to like build a second class to come in. You know, like you need to build like that bench. You need to get younger people in so that you have a mix of like veterans and youth. And what she was saying did not it seemed, I guess it was more than what you would normally see a WNBA player say about their own team, but also like I would be frustrated too if I were Angel Reese.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't think she did anything wrong. Like yeah. I was like, ooh, Angel Reese said something and like what is it gonna be? And I read it and I was like, that's what did it it's fine. Like it's really fine. Okay, finally, the thing I wanted to talk about to round this out. There was a period of time during this season when what turned out to be crypto bros and incels were throwing sex toys onto the basketball court. Like, what did you make of that whole story, Aaron? And, like, what do you think can be done to prevent men from coming into women's spaces and fucking ruining it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, the perils of more people paying attention to and trying to capitalize on the momentum of the W, right? Look, I mean, we wrote about this at the 19th, too. It's not okay. Like, that's not okay. Nobody asked for this, right? And if you're going to come into, you're coming into this game, be respectful. Trying to use this as a way to get viral attention for yourself and in the most disgusting, gross, you know, toxic way. Why? Nobody asked for that. Like this is one of the things that people enjoy so much about the W is the atmosphere, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how enjoyable it is, how it feels like a safe space for a lot of people. And so, you know, for people to come in and disrupt that, I mean, it really is disappointing. And for it to just be, it's not just a stunt, right? Like it does matter that this is the way in which you are choosing to kind of disrupt and try to get attention for yourself. Like it's luckily that did not persist for too long, but the fact that it happened at all really was just unacceptable. And I'm glad that it got called out, and I'm glad that it got shouted down. And we don't need to see any more dildos out there, folks.
No. I mean, it's made it to the NFL, but I'm kind of like, I've seen whole men streak fields with their dongs hanging out in the NFL. So there's like a longer tradition of like sure. male genitalia on display in the NFL.
But
so
also, it wasn't the same group.
Yeah, no, it was a totally different group. It was just someone being like, that's a good idea.
Let's try it.
Yes.
Let's try it.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron, that's all the time we have for this segment of our WNBA conversation. I really hope that the Dream and the Lynx face each other. Manifesting, manifesting, manifesting.
Yes, yes.
The WNBA playoffs start on the 14th.
I'm locked in.
And it's just a lot of fun. I'm locked in. It's like watching people finish a marathon. Like, I think people who don't follow the WNBA don't know that they get, like, no break. The season ends, and then they go into the playoffs. And so they're, like, it's like watching someone run a marathon. It's really, really impressive and amazing, and I can't wait to see what happens. All right,
Same.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sani Petty. Hysteria is brought to you by Fatty 15. What are my thoughts, feelings, and concerns about aging? I have none. I think it's great. I think it's great. I love that I slept on my neck weird, and I spent the entire day with neck spasms. That was cool. I didn't even do anything cool to hurt it. When you get older, you just get hurt from doing normal things. I don't like it. I don't like it. That's why I am really excited about Fatty 15, because healthy aging is really important to me, especially now that I'm actually experiencing the nightmare that is having a human neck. I'm so excited to share with you guys C15 from Fatty 15, the first emerging essential fatty acid to be discovered in more than 90 years. It's an incredible scientific breakthrough to support our long-term health and wellness. And you guessed it, healthy aging. Fatty 15 co-founder Dr. Stephanie Vent Watson discovered the benefits of C15 while working with the U.S. Navy to continue improve the health and welfare of aging dolphins. Never seen a dolphin with wrinkles. Based on over 100 studies, we now know that C15 strengthens our cells and is a key healthy aging nutrient, which helps slow biological aging at the cellular level. In fact, when our cells don't have enough C15, they become fragile and age faster. And when our cells age, our bodies age too. This eventually led to studies finding the first new nutritional deficiency in 75 years called cellular fragility syndrome caused by a lack of the C15. As many as 1 in 3 people worldwide may have low C15 levels and cellular fragility syndrome. Fatty 15 is a science-backed, award-winning, patented 100% pure C15 supplement. It's vegan-friendly, free of flavors, allergens, or preservatives. Fatty 15 has 3 times more cellular benefits than omega-3 or fish oil. By replenishing our cells with the crucial C15 nutrient, Fatty 15 effectively repairs cells, reverses aging at the cellular level, and restores our long-term health and wellness. Best of all, Fatty 15 comes in a gorgeous reusable glass and bamboo jar, and refills are shipped right to your door. I'm tired of having ugly jars in my house. I'm banishing them for the rest of the year. So it's a good thing Fatty 15 comes in such a pretty package because it fits right into the hope that I have for my future aesthetic. Fatty 15 is on a mission to optimize your C15 levels to help support your long-term health and wellness, especially as you age. You can get an additional 15% off their 90-day subscription starter kit by going to fatty15.com/hysteria and using code hysteria at checkout.
If you guys like Positive America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Positive America. That includes our new show, which is called Positive America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription-exclusive podcast that is basically Positive America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothes.
Dan is very busy, clothes only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that is very suspicious of Ellen DeGeneres' real estate behavior. Alyssa, have you seen some of this stuff?
No, what is she doing?
She's flipping, like, chateaus. She's flipping country estates. She's going to the UK.
What?
She's buying up cute little cottages, like the kind of cottage that was in that that Christmas swap movie.
Yeah.
Like millennial grayifying them, making them look like a fucking Mormon housewife's.
She's also hawking face cream on TV.
Oh, God.
She is hawking face cream.
She and Portia. Every day I see them.
This sounds like a new HGTV show I'd watch. Is she doing the renos herself? Where is it? Where can I see this?
An HGTV show with a lot of mean pranks in it, like Ellen DeGeneres style mean pranks would be kind of funny. Like a combination of Pimp My Ride and Punked.
I loved Pimp My Ride.
And in-house.
That was good stuff.
Okay.
Max.
All right, before we get into Sandy Petty, some announcements for the class. You've heard us talking about Crooked Con for weeks now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been talking about it for weeks, on and off mic. And today we're excited to officially announce that Alyssa and I will be at Crooked Con.
We got the rose.
We got the rose. Bow, bow, bow. I was going to do like a dance floor siren type situation, but we're really excited. I think it's going to be a great event. We can't wait to see all of you who can make it. We're also excited to share a preview of the Crooked Con lineup, which includes Sarah Longwell, Hassan Piker, Fah Shakir, Brian Tyler Cohen, Jessica Tarlov, Senator Ruben Gallego, Governor Andy Beshear, Representative Sarah McBride, Representative Janelle Bynum, Ben Wickler, and more.
Crooked Con is your chance to join some of the smartest organizers and least annoying politicians in America to strategize, debate, and commiserate about where the pro-democratic movement goes from here, hopefully up. We will all be in Washington, D.C. on November 7th for a full day of exciting conversations, panels, workshops, and live pods.
And by popular demand, Crooked just added more tickets. See the full lineup and get your tickets at crookedcon.com. Oh, also, check out what I'm wearing. I mean, this is like an audio medium, but
we have new t-shirts.
We're wearing, like, we have new t-shirts. We have new merch. I'm wearing some new Hysteria merch, and I absolutely love it. It is collegiate-style block letters across the chest, and it just says Hysteria. And on the arm, it says,
unfortunately correct since at least 2018.
2018 is when we started this podcast.
That's us.
And we know
years.
That all of you who have been listening have been correct along with us. And so this is our group's motto.
So stay tuned. There's a hoodie coming.
There's a hoodie coming. There's cozy stuff. There's the new collegiate style Hysteria sweatshirt to show your petty pride. We finally have a hooded zip up.
Thank God.
Finally.
So ready.
I got mine in the mail yesterday and
it is
cozy.
And it's Hysteria. There's no mistaking.
There's no mistaking that it is a Hysteria sweatshirt. We're reclaiming that style from the frat bros. It's now ours. Sorry, fellas. See you at the next kegger. No, I'm not doing that.
Sorry, fellas.
I've like gotten to a point where like if I showed up at someone's house and they had a keg, I'd be like, oh, that's funny. Like that's camp. That's kitsch. You know, we're doing, oh, that's like a cute thing to have. It's like having a chocolate fountain. Like, am I going to eat that chocolate? No.
I agree. But enjoy yourself with
the
keg. It's like,
it's fun. It's fun. But like, if I see anybody doing a keg stand, I'm like, this party is, I am not in the target.
Whatever you do, don't wear your Hysteria t-shirt and do a keg stand. Instead, head on over to crooked.com/store to shop.
Now let's get to Sandy Petty. All right, Aaron, you're the guest this week. Are you feeling sane? Or is there something that's making you feel petty this week?
I'm feeling sane, but only because fall weather is arriving, okay? Because I was feeling very insane at this chaotic-ass weather that we had. It was a wild summer, right? So, yes, I am normally not that person. I am, like, side-eyeing people when it is 80,000 degrees and they're getting their pumpkin spice latte, but it is actually appropriate weather for pumpkin spice latte right now. And that makes me very happy.
That is a great sanity because, you know, I'm jealous.
I'll take what I can get these days. I got to be honest with you. I'm taking what I can get.
Yeah. 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 Out on the West Coast, September and October are like the 2 months that it's just like you might wake up any day and it's 100 degrees. Just any day.
That's not correct.
So like my brain... It like breaks my brain every year. It's like, no, this is wrong. There's pumpkin spice lattes being like put up for sale. There's leaf themed things in the stores.
Yes.
Our seasons are just not the same as the seasons in the rest of the country.
It's disorienting.
It bums
pumpkin spice latte. Pumpkin spice latte, okay. Halloween decorations, not okay. Why are we already seeing this? I do not want to see your Halloween decorations. It is September. It is September.
I'm okay with some wishes.
No.
So, okay.
People are like, this year's over. Let's just do it. Put up a Christmas tree. Nothing matters.
So first of all, like Q4 is by far the superior quarter in the year. Q4, it's got everything, right? And this podcast, we pride
it's
ourselves.
It's got all the lights.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on being the queens of Q4. But I'm going to just say that when things are really bad and like Halloween season genuinely like fills me with joy, I love it. I love spooky season. I think that September 1st, we can do a soft launch of what we're calling Catherine O'Hara season, which is like the Catherine O'Hara season starts the first time you watch either Beetlejuice or Nightmare Before Christmas. And it ends the last time you watch Home Alone.
Okay.
So.
Not Die Hard?
I think Catherine O'Hara season. No,
that's true because she ain't
it's Catherine O'Hara.
I understand. I'm somewhere home. Home Alone. P.S. I mean, yes, like she was clearly the breadwinner just based on the haircut and that outfit. But let me just say that if Beetlejuice is the metric, though, like it's Halloween all year round for me. Beetlejuice is like one of my favorite movies of all time. Every time that I'm flipping channels and it's on, I don't care what point it is in the movie, I'm going to stop and I'm going to watch. Because it just, I love, like, you know, do we have another hour? Like, no, I am obsessed. It's showtime. Like, I'm obsessed with Beetlejuice.
Oh my God, I love that. Maybe Ellie the Elephant will hear this message and dress up in a Beetlejuice-themed halftime performance situation.
Yes, please.
Situation.
Beetlejuice or Wednesday, I'll take it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. This is like a good fact to know about Aaron Haynes.
That I'm obsessed with Beetlejuice.
Yes, obsessed with Beetlejuice. Good character note. Alyssa, are you feeling sane or petty this week?
Petty.
Okay.
Feeling petty. So, you guys, the other day, I was in the car listening to a podcast, and a podcast host made reference of the fact, was talking about Hillbilly Elegy in J.D. Vance's book, and he said that in the book, J.D. Vance talks about how he tried out for varsity golf, right? He tried out for varsity golf in high school. So I'm driving, and I'm like, J.D. Vance plays golf? Donald Trump's played like 95 rounds of golf like every month. How has J.D. Vance ever played golf? And you guys, my Googling led me to just a little nugget of joy, just a little nugget. Of all the rounds of golf that Donald Trump has played, he only played one with J.D. Vance, only one. It was in August 2025, so a month ago. And I would like to read for you something that I hope you enjoy for the rest of the day. This is from Yahoo Golf News. J.D. Vance's visit to the UK had another subpar moment when the vice president swung his way through a brutal round of golf on Trump's Turnberry course in Scotland. Video of the 41-year-old Republican needing four putts to conquer one green, I play a little golf, that's bad, according to local reports, went viral on social media Friday. Golf Monthly says that's nearly double the number of putts an average golfer spends on a green. I just wanted to leave you with that.
I love that.
I think it is so funny that he didn't make the golf team in high school. He just tried out for it.
We got that.
But it's clearly, though, something that he sees as aspirational. Like, of all the sports he could have done in high school, he wanted to be part of the golf team, and then he got rejected. And then maybe he never learned to play any better, and he decided – I just think it's funny. Of all the golf that Trump has played – he only included JD once last month, and it was so bad, all the golf outlets talked about it.
More like JV Vance.
JV Vance.
Not JV. Oh, wow.
Yeah, JV Vance.
Listen, also, we need to track down that varsity golf coach. We need his thoughts on this moment as well. We need that. So Yahoo Golf and whoever else is out here writing about golf, you get on your jobs. We need to hear from this person.
Absolutely. That is a great assignment.
That was
for a go-get'em reporter.
Exactly.
Okay, so here, I'm feeling both sane and petty this week. This is just a little nugget that I was like, ooh, this is like a petty thing that happened, and it makes me feel great. hysteria friend E. Jean Carroll. To this day, I think the only interview subject in the, 7 years of this podcast who has done the interview while bouncing on an exercise ball.
Yeah.
Earlier this summer, E. Jean joined us, and she told us about her victories against Donald Trump in court. And on Monday, a federal appeals court upheld an $83.3 million judgment against the president and rejected his argument for presidential immunity. So he still has to pay her $83 million. He has yet to pay her any of it. Mm-hmm. But when he does, she has said that she plans to give it to something he hates. And I love that. Love that energy. I'm picturing her saying all of this while bouncing on an exercise ball and holding up a glass of some sort of liquid at, 2 p.m., whatever time it was. I love that for her. I love that for us. I love that he couldn't make that go away.
No. It may be the only thing he can't make go away.
Mm. All right. That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria.
Blessedly.
Erin Haynes, thank you so much for joining us. You're just a delight. Every single time you're here, you just fill the room with light and love. And we're so glad to have you this week and all the times you've been with us. Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die. You're amazing. I would die without you if you were not co-hosting this show on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. I feel the same.
Thank you so much. Listeners, if you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com is the email address that several of us check. And there will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusives like This Fucking Guy, our video series. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
you guys like Pod Save America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Pod Save America. That includes our new show, which is called Pod Save America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription-exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothes.
Dan is very busy, clothes only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes, from setting a post or pouring a walkway to installing concrete block or natural stone. We've got the mix you need in stock today. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards. Turn your tax refund into a new bathroom at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.